BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcast.
Scott Mills.
This is the Scott Mills Daily Podcast for Monday. An excellent weekend for me at the rugby in Wales. What an atmosphere. And, as I promised, national anthem completed. And I met an armoured goat.
Mate, there's so much that we needed to go at for today's show. This podcast is extraordinary. Amazing stories.
You'll hear us unpick it all. Also, we appear on 5 Live more than either of us really should do. Am I okay to take the milk from work? Discuss. Another of life's extraordinary people on Ask Them Anything. And have you done a great escape where you've escaped from a stressful and tricky situation like you were in a film and then afterwards, because you did it well, felt like an absolute hero? Send us your stories on this. We've had loads already. We need more. 81199.
Scott Mills.
I don't have a name, but this person says, I just want to say I'm well pleased for Chris for getting to the FA Cup semi-final. Yeah, you mean Watford.
Right? Absolutely buzzing for this.
You had nothing to do with it.
I'm a Watford fan, so obviously, yes, yeah, but it's me, Watford fans, the city of Watford, town.
But you like to say we, when actually it's not, you didn't do anything.
Oh, yeah. So when you're at the rugby, who are you supporting?
I was supporting Wales, right. But I didn't say we.
We won the Six Nations.
We won. I didn't say we.
The thing is, you can now, because you're a Wales fan, aren't you? You can say we won.
In the rugby, I am.
So sort of take it in.
Okay. But beating Crystal Palace 2-1 and now a place in the FA Cup semi-final. Incredible.
Oh, massive.
Playing Wolves at Wembley.
The funny thing was, I couldn't actually go to the game, which I was gutted about, but I was listening to it on 5 Live on the way to Wolverhampton because I was filming something at the Wolves game, which was an amazing result as well. Mm. Of course, what was the score again, Scott?
It was 2-1, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's actually really impressive. Mm-hmm. And so I was listening to everything on 5 Live. Actually, I don't know if I told you this, we got a little shout out during the coverage of the Watford game on 5 Live. I can play it to you in a bit if you
okay.
like.
Okay. And of course, like, it's big for you because you've only reached the final once, and that was like way back in 84.
This always happens on a Monday. I've noticed this. So who's giving you all the information? Does it all get written out for you?
Annoying that you lost 2-0 to Everton.
Right.
Back then. So,
yeah.
Good luck.
All right.
Scott Mills.
It is weird. There's something weird in humans. When you hear your name in a song, you just find it, like, really special. So amazing how many Lucys are contacting us saying, yay, my name in a song.
But what was he saying about Lucy? I wasn't listening properly. I was enjoying the song, but not really listening to the words.
I think it's all good.
He wasn't slagging off Lucys.
No. I think it's positive. Catfish and the Bottlemen and Kathleen on BBC Radio 1.
So listen, I said I'll play you this. So during the Watford game, I was listening to it on 5 Live because I was travelling to the Wolves game that was on a little bit later to film something there. So I couldn't go to the game myself, was listening on 5 Live. So I was really concentrating on the football because I wanted to imagine every little bit of it and it was really exciting. And then sort of towards the end of the first half, they gave you a shout out and it really put me off my stride because I was desperately concentrating on the football that I didn't really want to hear your name mentioned.
See, I should never be ever be mentioned halfway through any kind of football commentary. That's not the thing.
But it was amazing. And it really spun me out because you've got to think, Scott, this isn't just like a random point on 5 Live. This is like during the match, the commentary is actually happening and the commentator has decided to talk about you and then also mentions me as well, which was, like, I just found crazy anyway. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, if you're not expecting it, that will spin you out because the match is actually happening and they're kind of like in between saying what's going on the pitch, which you're really focusing on.
It's the actual commentary.
Right. Then they drop our names in.
Mate, it was so weird.
When you're not expecting it, that's weird.
It's a free kick to Watford, 5 or 6 yards inside the Palace half. Incidentally, mentioning the Six Nations, something you might want to hear at half-time, a rare appearance, possibly a debut on 5 Live Sport for Radio 1's Scott Mills, a former colleague of Mark Chapman's at Radio 1. And Scott Mills is making his first ever visit to a Six Nations match. He's in Cardiff this afternoon, and he's going to be a guest at half-time. His partner in crime on Radio 1, Chris Stark, of that Peter Crouch podcast fame is a Watford fan. Might well be here. Free kick taken in by Holly Bowden.
Back into the commentary.
And from Peter Crouch podcast fame, free kick.
Scott Mills.
Wow. My weekend was quite special. Also, someone's on going, why are you two getting so excited about mention on the radio? You're on the radio yourselves. Yeah, but on Five Live, it's different. I don't expect my name to crop up in sport.
No, it's, and when you get a shout-out on the radio, it's the best thing ever. When you're listening to the radio, you get a shout-out. It doesn't matter who you are. It's wicked.
Still now, yeah.
Oh, your weekend. Can I just say, you've won Instagram this weekend, in my opinion. Just the stuff that I saw going up on there. I was having quite a busy weekend, and every time I looked on your Insta, there was another picture, there was a goat, there was some choir, there was all sorts going on.
So, the Royal Welsh Band, last week, do you remember the end of last week, they were like, why didn't you come and practice the Welsh National Anthem with us, which I was learning all last week. So I DM'd them, I was like, yeah, yeah. And I was like, is this serious, or is this just like a bit of a wind-up? And they were like, no, serious. So a few like messages later, I was told to be at gate 4 of the Principality Stadium. How military precision is this? At 1300 hours precisely.
And you normally struggle with that sort of precision.
No, but I was there at gate 4. And then I was led in to meet the Royal Welsh Band and a goat called Schenkin. An armoured goat.
Legend. VIG.
Got his own Twitter, actually. So I get led inside and they're like, yeah, you're going to be rehearsing now. I'm like, not on the pitch, but like just where the players come out, like in the stadium, but just like before the players come out.
By the tunnel, sort of.
Yeah,
thing.
Kind of by the tunnel.
The opening before the tunnel.
Yeah, but where people can't see you. Mm. So I'm like, okay. So then the goat was placed next to me and there's a whole load of military behind me and then the full choir. And then as we were about to rehearse, they were like, 3, 2, 1. And then someone shouted, stop! And the band were about to strike up. At that point, 6 police bikes turn up. We have to delay the rehearsal because Prince William has just arrived.
Oh, incredible.
And the goat is freaking out at this point. He's like, well, I thought we were rehearsing now. Right, I've got so much more to tell you. And I'll play you my, what I think is quite a proud moment at 1:40.
BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills.
So, amazing weekend. Wales v Ireland. Grand Slam. And I was there at the Principality Stadium. Before that, just over the road, there's a hotel called the Angel Hotel with loads of Welsh fans in there. And Five Live had set up a little spot. And I had to speak to Chappers, Mark Chapman, formerly of this show. We've not been on air since, but the chemistry was still there. And talk about rugby.
This was extraordinary. I was listening to this as it happened. And I was laughing so hard. It was, honestly, this was... And also, it was so lovely hearing you with Chappers again.
I really enjoyed it.
It took me back.
What are those weird microphones you have to use on sport?
Yeah.
The commentator ones.
Well, you were talking about this during the chat, because at first, he crossed over to you, and then it was like you weren't there. So he was like, we'll go over to Scott Mills, and there was just silence.
Yeah, we forgot to turn the microphone on.
Screwed it up already. And then you blamed it on the fact that you had these commentator microphones.
Well, they're weird. You have to put them, like, basically on your face. You would have seen this on sport on the TV, right? Yeah. Are they special ones? Why are they those?
I think they use those because it blocks out the sound around them, maybe.
This is what happened.
Of Scott Mills, Radio 1 presenter. Well, who'd have thought this would ever have happened?
Rubbish.
Hello? Scott?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you, yeah.
Hello, that's right, Marcus.
Yeah. Have you ever worked in radio before? You know that red button that you have to turn your mic on with?
I tell you what it is. I'm using one of these commentator microphones, which you must use all the time, but I don't actually know how to work it. You have to, like, put it on your lip, don't you?
You do, yes.
I've never done this before, but it's quite cool. I like it.
So at least I managed eventually to learn how to use the microphone.
Can you hear me now?
That gap was longer than I thought.
It was so long. Honestly, listening to this, it was so funny.
And then we got straight down to sport.
Obviously, BBC News have been following what you've been doing this week. Oh. I saw a tweet from BBC News. Just in case the cameras pick you up singing the national anthem, have you had a spray tan?
I may have done that, yeah. You've got to, haven't you?
Yeah, you have.
Luckily, there weren't that many questions about the rugby.
Yeah. Although, the ones I did hear, you answered brilliantly, actually. You completely blagged it. Sounded very convincing.
Yeah, I did a whole chat about whether the roof was going to be on or off.
I know.
Right?
And there was something
I bet that was stuff you didn't even know. Did you know that?
Yeah. No, there was something. There was a question you asked. And I remember thinking, God, I didn't even know about this either.
No, I think it was the...
Oh, like, it was about the opposite team being able to choose whether the roof was on or off. I didn't know that.
True. So, Ireland said... We want the roof off. And Wales have to be like, okay, because they're the guest.
But it was being played in Wales. So.
Yeah. So my question was, hang on a second, it's your stadium in Wales. Why can't you decide?
And do you know what? It was such a wonderful question because if I remember right, even Chappers didn't know the answer to it.
He did not.
Scott Mills.
So last week on the show, I did task myself with learning the Welsh national anthem. And then the Royal Welsh Band invited me to do a little rehearsal. Not on the pitch, thank the Lord, but just at the mouth of the tunnel where the players come out.
Very quickly, before you talk about the rehearsal, which from the footage I've seen is like the most unbelievable situation ever, the actual moment the anthem was sung on the pitch, what was that like? Because, it's a great sporting moment being in Wales when the Welsh... anthem is sung at the rugby.
But it's continuous singing. It's not just that. I mean, I've learned so many new songs. And what an atmosphere. I can't even describe how mad it was in there.
That's why I think you've been so lucky with this, because it's a huge honour.
Massively.
To be sort of involved with the anthem singing. So to get to the rehearsal, I think, is a very, very special moment. Like every rugby fan, every Welsh rugby fan would love to be in that situation.
I was getting so many messages from people going, I wish I could do that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it was incredible. I learnt Bread of Heaven. That's a song about wanting to feed you bread until you want no more.
Yeah.
And I learnt Land of My Fathers.
Yeah.
Right. Land of My Father.
Cool.
Yeah.
Fathers. Father.
Okay, so I'm going to play you the video now. Obviously, you won't be able to see that because we're on the radio, but I want you to say what you see, okay?
Yeah, all right.
All right,
yeah.
So, okay, let's play it now. So this is me in rehearsal with the Royal Welsh Band, and an armoured goat stood right next to me. Say what you see.
I feel bad talking over it, but I'm going to have to because it's a video. But yeah, there's a full sort of military presence. There's obviously the band, it just pans to the left, and there's Scott Mills there next to a goat.
Out in front.
And to be fair, you're belting out the anthem.
Mm. Does it look like I know the words?
Watch my mouth. Oh, it's just pan left and there's a whole choir, full conductor. You are holding your phone right in front of you, so you are reading the words from there, aren't you?
It's just to give me a little assistance, yeah.
It's not that one with the pictures of the celebrities that sound a bit like the Welsh anthem,
is it? It's not that one, no. Look, I'm going for it now, with the glad.
Wow. Oh, the goat's giving you side eye. It's like, who's this behind me?
Yeah. The goat wasn't interested.
This is incredible.
Isn't it though?
It's just so passionate.
Look how much I go for it at the end.
Big finish, Scott.
Yes!
You're sort of conducting with your little left hand.
That is goals.
Scott Mills.
One.
Every week on this show, we speak to some extraordinary people on Ask Me Anything. These people are outstanding in their field. We don't know who we're going to get put through to, but we will want to ask a lot of questions, that's guaranteed. Hello, caller, who are you and what do you do?
Hi, I'm Kate Ovens. I'm a competitive eater. Ask Me Anything.
Oh, wow. Incredible. Is Ovens your real name or is that like a stage name because of the eating?
Yeah, no, it's actually my real name. I'd like to think I'd come up with something better if it was the stage name.
How long have you been eating for? I mean, competitively.
I'd say about 3-4 years.
Were you inspired by shows like Man vs. Food back in the day?
I was indeed, yeah. That was where I first saw it and I was just like, yeah, I can definitely do this.
When you say competitive, is this something that you just do as personal challenges or are you actually rivaling other people? Are there competitions for this?
There are competitions. I did one about sort of 3 years ago, right at the very start. I don't normally do competitions anymore. It's mainly just me, my cameras, having a bit of a laugh, basically.
Oh, right. So you sort of film yourself doing it. Is this like have you got like a YouTube channel or something?
Yeah, I'm just looking you up. You're big on the Instagram.
Are you?
Yeah, no, it's like YouTube and like Facebook, Instagram, you know, just trying to span the whole internet, basically.
I can't wait to follow you. I'll tell you why. Because for me, when I get bored, I look up pictures of food.
Really? That's what I do as well.
Yeah, it's quite weird. Like if I'm on a train, Scott's had a go at me about this before. But I look up pictures of pizza, like image search, whatever pizza I'm thinking of, and then just look at the pictures of it. It's quite weird.
Oh, no. I do that all the time. There's a place that's popped up called Japes, and it's Chicago Town Pizza, and I can't stop watching cheese balls. Oh.
What's your best challenge you've done then? What's the one that's going to really impress us?
I've done a 3 kilogram doner kebab.
Yes.
And a massive pizza I'm seeing you with. This will interest Chris.
Oh, I really get off on this stuff.
That was actually one of the best pizzas I've had, like, to this day. It's a little place called Tony's Pizzeria up in Scotland.
And how big was that one?
That was 27 inches.
Oh, yes.
I'm seeing a picture. It's bigger than you.
It was almost bigger than the table.
Oh, this is so good. And how long did you have for the 27 inch?
So they gave a time limit of 90 minutes, but I kind of tapped out about 80. You can actually watch it from day to night time because it was like middle of winter.
I'm just looking at some of what you've achieved. 2.5 kg roast dinner Yorkshire pudding wrap. 3-foot sausage roll. 11 cheeseburgers, only managed 9. But I mean, it's still very impressive.
Do you always do quantity or do you do like spicy ones as well?
I have attempted a spice one about 2 years ago, and it was one of the worst decisions I've ever made in my entire life. It was the Naga Viper chili.
Yeah, I did
chili.
The same. It ruins you down below.
The what?
Do you remember when you made me eat one of those? In fact, you made me eat a series of these things.
What
up
is it?
Into the hot, it's the Spanish Naga.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And it absolutely it caused me no end of drama down below.
I only know 2 other people who took on the challenge. One of them threw up as soon as they got home. The other one actually ended up going to hospital. He was in that much pain. And I just laid on my kitchen floor all evening.
Outside of the challenges, you're probably eating very healthy, aren't you?
I'm trying my best, you know, sort of plenty of fish, plenty of vegetables. But again, I'm human. I'm allowed to fall off the wagon every now and then. But I mean, if you guys are up for doing a challenge, yes. I'd be more than happy to do one with you guys.
Yes, absolutely.
Can we put a date in, please, Kate, to go eating together, all of us?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
Yes. Let's do that.
Okay. I've actually put it in my diary. Go eating with Kate Ovens. So is that cool for you?
Yeah, sounds brilliant. Where are we going to go?
Well, you're the expert. What do you suggest?
But, I mean, I want to pick somewhere you guys will enjoy.
I want to take you on.
What cuisine would you want?
Yeah. I really want to take you on. I honestly do. I really will. I will go for it.
Oh, this is fighting talk. I'd like to see you about halfway through when you're regressing everything.
Right, okay, we're going to get this done. Thanks so much, Kate, for being on Ask Me Anything. Fascinating. Thank you.
Oh, no worries. Thank you.
Scott Mills.
Peter in Newcastle says, absolutely no way that you would beat her. Big fan of Kate Ovens on the Instagram. He says she is an absolute machine. Her challenge videos are brilliant. Yeah, I don't think we beat her.
Well, it sounds like a fun night trying, though. Maybe we do something with her. I don't know. You didn't seem that keen. You didn't throw your hat in there.
No, I said we'd sort it, but she's going to win. I've just seen her try to devour that sausage roll. It's incredible scenes.
One, Scott Mills.
Got another busy one tonight. I'm hosting the Oscars of the Kebab World, the British Kebab Awards.
Yeah, I'm sorry I can't be there.
Yep, flying solo.
Yeah, I know you're slightly unhappy with me about this situation. However, it'll be lots of fun.
I've just seen there's a new category, Best Kebab Van of the Year this year, so that's good.
Yeah, that was on last year as well.
Oh, was it? Oh, sorry.
So that's good.
Oh, I thought it was new.
Yeah.
Right, here's the thing. I don't know where everyone stands on this. The time I finish that, it's going to be late, right? Mm. And I've noticed as I left the house today, I'm out of milk at home. There won't be many shops open. What's the rule on borrowing a pint of skim milk from here?
Oh, that's absolutely fine.
I mean, there's like so much milk in that fridge.
There's too much milk. I'm sure they waste it.
There's loads. There's loads, though, right? So what about if I just pop a little milk in my, because I'm not going to have time.
Would they come in the sort of 4-pint containers?
No, I just want a little one. You know, they've got the little ones in there, like the pint ones.
I thought you were proposing just taking one of the 4-pint ones.
Is that allowed at work?
I don't know, but the person in charge should be listening to this right now, and if they're not, then it's their own fault if it goes.
Where do you stand on nicking the toilet paper from work?
I actually don't know what the line is.
I might have done that before. If, you know, when you need a spare roll at home.
Scott Mills.
You know, I've always been obsessed with newsreaders on TV.
Yes.
I love a bit of news. Like, I can watch BBC News for hours, just have it on there.
Okay. Well, we love some of the newsreaders. Simon McCoy is just a don, isn't he?
I mean, here at the BBC, I love McCoy, Fiona Bruce, Rita Chakrabarty, Hugh Edwards, Sophie Raworth, Riz Latif, all those. Over on ITV, not as much, but, you know, you've got Mary Nightingale, you've got James Mates, you've got Julie Etchingham.
There's a couple of standouts there, but generally.
And then on Sky, of course, you've got Adam Bolton, editor-at-large.
Yeah.
Actual title. The one that swallowed a fly on TV. Mm. Kay Burley, obs. Mark Austin, Anna Botting, Sophie Ridge, all my faves. They've come up with an idea on Sky News, which I really wish that we'd thought of. Have you heard about this?
No. What's going on?
They're doing a thing this week called Ocean Live, where they've sent Botting 300 metres below the Indian Ocean in a submarine to read the news.
So the news has been read from below?
Yeah. More people have walked on the moon.
Is that necessary? Like, it feels to me the news should be read in just sort of the same way.
She's in a flipping submarine in the sea reading the news.
Well, that, I mean, incredible for her. Surely an amazing experience.
So there she is, like, reading the latest about Brexit earlier. A casual shark swims past.
Do you know what it is? It feels quite extra.
It is.
Because there's really no need for that to be happening.
No, but it is, and I'm jealous that we didn't think of it.
Scott Mills. BBC
Radio 1.
Scott Mills.
Hello, Sarah in Manchester.
Hello.
Okay, so you listen to bangers all the time, but now you're finally on.
Yes, I know. I've called before as well, but this is my first time on.
You're through.
Thank you.
Okay, so what are you doing today?
I'm just at work at the minute. I'm a lorry driver.
Oh, okay. So, like, you must go everywhere.
Mostly just around Manchester. So it's all pretty local, which is nice and easy. I get home every evening that way.
That's nice. Do you know what I always wonder is... Like, when you want a lunch break or something, do you just choose when that is, or do you just keep going, next junction, and then you end up not doing it? And if so, like, what is the appeal to those, like, lorries stopping? I always wonder this. Why do you go to those sort of little huts on the side of the motorway rather than just go to the full-on services?
The services are pretty generic usually, and they're way more expensive than like just your side of the road body van, and the people there are usually much nicer. So I have a favourite one in Haywood that I always go to.
Well, what are they selling in there then that's not in the normal petrol station?
I always wonder this.
This particular place changes every day. No, I had sushi yesterday though. Oh. Like they do curry and chili and pie, and they do like desserts like sticky toffee pudding on Fridays or like roly poly, you know, pudding or whatever.
But this is only really good. This is only for you truck drivers.
No, anybody can do it.
I thought it was only truck drivers as well. It generally looks quite sort of. I imagine it's going to be quite unfriendly if I was to pull over there and stop there. But then from the outside as well, and I mean, I honestly don't mean offence by this at all, doesn't look that great from the outside, but now what you're saying is like they're serving up gattos and stuff inside.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Okay, I'm going to check that out. Definitely checking that out. Here's what I've got for you today, Sarah, on bangers. I'm a millionaire.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It is. Khalees, Millionaire. Mama, I'm a millionaire. That's my choice.
Yeah. Do you know what? I reckon that's my favourite Khalees song. That tune. Okay, you can...
It doesn't beat Milkshake, though.
Yeah, true.
I don't know. Anyway, that's Scott's choice again. My choice today, which is this.
Oh, that is classic.
This is peak me.
That is very you.
But it's a street song you don't often hear on Radio 1, so
no,
I would love to hear it.
It's probably one of their most kind of trance-inducing. It's really chilled.
This is the streets
really
blinded
like
by the lights.
Yeah. Oh, that is a toughie.
I think I know what you're going to go for.
Do you, though?
Yeah.
No, is it you?
No.
Oh, well, it's you.
Is it? Going for Scott?
Yeah.
I said her from the city, so her got to be witty.
Podbods. If you're looking for a new podcast to tickle your pickle, then you may be interested in me, Alex Fox, and him, Riyad Khalaf, on Unexpected Fluids.
We go through hilarious tales of sexual fails.
It was like Niagara Falls.
Oh, I had to wipe my nose with a pair of his burgundy Y-fronts.
Listen now on BBC Sounds.
This is why the country's in turmoil, says Nathan in Southampton. Livid. How can you not choose the streets? That's from Paul. Absolute shambles, says Dan.
I'm gutted the streets weren't chosen, but in all honesty, I think that was the right choice. That was an amazing... I've known that for ages. That's an amazing song. I love that.
A long time ago I heard that last. Lewis in South Wales is happy with it. So is John in Lockerbie.
Lee in Essex. Scott says, yours is more upbeat for Monday. Sidebar, just seen Prince Philip drive past me in a Toyota Yaris.
You haven't, though.
Don't think that's him.
For lots of reasons. One, driving's off, and two, he wouldn't be in a Yaris, hun.
Scott Mills.
Lauren says, someone I know once travelled 6 hours to Manchester for a hookup with a guy that we met there when we were on a night out. Way home the next day, her car breaks down. She had to be brought home by recovery. Oh. Not heard from him since. Well, awkward. So, Jess, how far did you go for a hookup?
So, I went from Birmingham to Sandhurst Military Academy for a second Tinder date.
How far is that?
Birmingham to Reading. I think it was like 2.5 hours on the train.
Fairly far.
A stop in between.
A military academy, I'm assuming, is quite a high security place. You must have had to try and get in there for the date.
Yeah, so the guy I was meeting, Rob, picked me up and we went for dinner in Reading first and then for a drink at a pub. And then we went to Sandhurst and I was allowed to get in there. They scanned my passport and made me this little ID card thing, which I still have at home because souvenir.
So they let you in?
Yeah. So your visitors are allowed in for the day. They're just not allowed to stay overnight.
Oh.
Right, OK.
Okay.
It seems very unromantic having to sort of scan IDs on the way in. I don't want to go into too much information here, right? But I just want to check I'm thinking the right thing. The date had gone quite well. And so that's why really you were heading back to Sandhurst.
Well, also, I kind of had to stay somewhere because I'd missed the last train back to Birmingham.
Right.
Nice.
Okay.
So
here's the thing. One of my friends is in the RAF and he is not allowed to have girls back there.
Yeah. I mean, one of my cousins, he's actually just left, but he's in the Coldstream Guards. And when I told him, he was outraged.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this
my dad's also ex-army. I didn't tell him either.
Oh, God.
God, it really is.
I also just didn't want to tell him that I was meeting up with army boys.
Yeah.
This is fascinating. Now, I've got so many questions that I'm not sure I can ask. So you've managed to get in. That's fine. Then what happens? Do they sort of go to kick you out at some point and then you just hide?
Well, no, that's the thing. No one came. I mean, we went back to his room in like the dormitory room things and he had his own room. Then the next morning, he had to go and do this like parade thing in the morning.
Parade thing.
So this parade thing.
Whatever it was.
So he put on all his khaki stuff, went off to do that.
Yes.
And I was under strict instructions that if anyone came by to do like a random room inspection, I'd have to hide under the bed.
Oh my word.
You'd have to assume that the room inspection would be thorough enough that they could spot a human underneath the bed.
Yeah,
you'd think, it's the army.
Yeah, but I don't think hiding under a bed really works when it's a full-on inspection, but I mean, I guess you could have given it a go. Did you get into the army role at all, Emma? Did you put the outfits on or anything?
Well, yeah, when he was gone, he'd left one of his, like, dress hats. You know, one of the ones with, like, a big black, like, peak on it. It had, like, a band on it.
Yeah.
Like, a big badge. Tried that on.
You got to try on.
Did a little fight for this love. Sent some Snapchats. It was great.
A little fight for this love. Yeah.
I might get discovered in a minute, but meanwhile, let me be Cheryl.
Exactly. I slightly so. I don't know. Try on. It looked fantastic.
Yeah, why not? Right, wait there. There's more to this story. Like, how did you get out?
Scott Mills.
So, Emma has an extreme hookup on, at a base. We've got more questions.
Okay, so you've done the night there. You're hiding.
How did you sneak out?
Well, he came back from, like, the mess hall and he'd snuck a pan of chocolate out for me.
Keeper.
Yeah, brought me breakfast in bed.
Yes. In his dorm. What a treat.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And he said, just walk out like you're meant to be here. I was like, all right, well, I'm definitely not meant to be here. But
march out.
Just walk out with confidence.
And then we had to sneak down this little like grassy embankment into the car, and then got in the front seat, had to bend over with my head in between my knees.
Wow.
And he put a blanket over me as we were driving out.
Do you know what? I think this is nonsense. I reckon what's happened here is this is his trick. He makes it sound like it's really exciting that you've got to basically do an assault course before you leave. Over a grassy hill or whatever it is.
No, I do think you have to be careful, though. I think blanket on head was a good move.
This isn't just great lengths gone to for a hookup. For me, this is the best story of an escape I've heard in ages. And I love those ones. You know where someone has stayed at someone's parents' house and that, and they've got to sneak out in the morning. First time, do you remember after Reading Festival, I went and stayed at Rear's house, Scott. Mm. You know this story.
I do.
So I went back there after Reading Festival. Now, I woke up.
This is like a movie, by the way.
I woke up and I could hear her dad out in the landing. I was thinking, this is not for me.
No.
Like, this is a bad situation to be in. Mm. I don't want to be. And he was like, who's that boy in there?
Ah!
Like, it was all on. So they knew I was in there. They weren't happy about it. I didn't really want to go out and say hello. So I looked out the window and they've got a drive, but they've got like a sort of wall down the bottom.
I've seen it.
So the plan for me was to go out the window, go down the drain pipe and then climb over the wall. But the window was one of those ones you've got to sort of lift up and it was locked.
The thing is, you're in a panic and you're looking out the window, and I'm not that I've done this myself, and you're looking for all the options and you don't have time. You have hardly any time.
Yeah, so can we broaden this up from now on in? Can we also get people's escape stories as well? Because they're sort of linked.
The Great Escape, let's do it.
Yes, The Great Escape.
Let us know your stories. Thank you, Emma.
Thank you.
You feel like a hero when it's kind of completed, don't you? Let me know your great escape story, 81199.
Scott Mills.
I know we're going to get loads of good stories on this. The Great Escape.
Aaron, who's driving right now in the rain, says that we should call this feature The Date Escape, which is good also.
Craig in Newcastle. Craig had to get his mate, who's a window cleaner, to come and clean the girl's house's windows so he could go down the ladder from her room so the parents wouldn't see him.
Some of these stories are amazing. Emma in Exeter. I used to go on dates to the same Indian restaurant deliberately because I knew there was a door at the back of the ladies' loo that if you knocked on loudly enough, someone from the kitchen would come and unlock from the other side and let you out directly into the car park so you could escape. I mean, that's unbelievable.
This girl doesn't need her name, but says had a hookup with a guy at his parents' house. He then had to drive his car down the drive while I crawled alongside it.
Cover me!
Cover me! There's so many good ones. But admit it, once you're out, because you're panicking, right? Once you're out, it's like, yes, that was exciting.
Best feeling ever. To breakfast!
It is, it's good. Chelsea's also been in the same situation. Her ex was in the Navy, had to leave hidden in the car, blanket over her. The romance, real nice.
I like when it's an operation. I like when, you know, there's tactics involved, a lot of thought, preparation, that kind of thing. We're going to get so many stories on this, Scott.
Also, I don't advise this. Don't climb out a bedroom window onto a conservatory roof to jump to the fence and escape. That is really bad. Two broken ribs later.
Scott Mills.
Potential hamster on the loose, Chris.
Yeah, where?
Charlie, what's happening? Fill me in.
Hi, so I'm driving home from uni and I've been given responsibility for our house hamster for the holidays. So she's in the back of my car in her cage and, yeah, we're driving home to Norfolk.
Okay, why is it going to escape?
Well, it's a bit of a precarious cage. I don't know if all the doors close. I checked them all loads, but every time I go round and round about, I'm terrified she's just going to be flung out of it. Basically.
Uni pets are such a bad idea because I know it's a nice thing to have in your house, but there's so many holidays and stuff and many nights out. And people come back to the house and you know what it's like, the after party, night out, especially the AU nights, weird things happen. I feel the hamster is in a dangerous situation.
We actually accidentally dropped her almost in a glass of wine the other day.
See what I mean? Uni pets, bad idea.
She was at my birthday party, so we got her out.
Yeah, and, this is like, give the hamster to someone else is my tip.
There will be someone.
So sweet.
There'll be someone on the sport teams who will eat your fish if you have one.
I know that they're sweet, but it's a responsibility thing, you know.
We are actually quite good parents. My friend Esther and Sasha and I take it in turns with the cleaning out and everything. So
you nearly dropped it in a glass of wine.
That was not me. That was Esther.
Right. That was Esther.
One of the other responsible ones. Okay, well, I hope it doesn't end up in the footwell.
Thank you so much.
Scott Mills.
Back tomorrow from 1 on BBC Radio 1, and I'm giving another vocal coach lesson to the stars. This time, John Newman.
Scott Mills.